When I left you in my previous lesson, we were in Genesis chapter 16, one of the most drama-filled chapters in the Old Testament. If you think that Abraham's household experienced drama when he made the announcement that they were going to leave their relatives and move to a land which God was going to show him, you've seen nothing yet. When we get to the 16th chapter, when we get to this chapter in Abram's life, the drama begins to be so thick that you could almost cut it with a knife. The kind of drama that playwrights are written and movies are produced. You recall that Sarah had come to Abraham and said, "God has restrained me from bearing children." Sarah was barren. She had no children. She did not blame it on the devil. She said that God had restrained her from bearing. Have you ever felt that God was restraining you from doing something that you really wanted to do? Have you ever felt that every time you thought you were going to get that which you were asking for, there seems to be hindrances, there seems to be problems? It is as though the devil was blocking you on every hand. But you know, it may have been God restraining you, keeping you in a place of obedience, keeping you humble, keeping you praying. Not only does God know how to give you liberty, but God knows how to restrain you. God wants His will to be done in your life. We want to help God, don't we? We want to help God bring to pass those things that He has promised us. So Sarah went to Abraham with the thought in mind that we can fix this. I don't have any children by Abraham. I've got a remedy for this. I'll just let Abraham take my maid in to his bedroom, and she can conceive, and I will have a child by my maid. Sarah was tired of waiting on God. Sometimes we feel that God is nothing but a slowpoke. We wonder sometimes if the promises that He made will ever come to fruition. But God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness. God is always on time. There's a song I play occasionally entitled 4 Days Late, Yet He's Always on Time. You recall when Lazarus was sick, his sisters waited on Jesus, but Jesus didn't show up before Lazarus died. In fact, it was 4 days later when Jesus finally showed up. He showed up, but it was too little too late. And Mary and Martha told him so. They said, "If you had been here, he would not have died." And others said, "Could not he that opened the blinded eye, couldn't he prevented Lazarus from dying?" Indeed he could. But God put that miracle on the back burner in order to bring out an even greater miracle. The things that you feel that God is restraining you from may not be the best that God wants you to have. God may have something far more greater than that which you are craving. God knows what you need. He knows the capacity that you have for greatness. Why settle for that which you can get on your own? If you can get it on your own, you can lose it on your own. If the world gives it to you, the world can take it away. I remember when I was growing up, one of the precious saints in the church danced across the front of the church singing, "The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. That which God gives to you, the world can't take it away. My peace," he says, "I give unto you." The peace that God gives, the world cannot take it away. So why settle for anything other than what God can give you? So with this plan in her mind, she approached Abraham. Now, I don't know exactly how the conversation started out. She may have said, "Abe, honey, I don't have any children, but have you noticed my maid Hagar?" Now, Abraham, like most husbands, know that wives ask us those trick questions, like, "Does this dress make me look fat?" Or, "Do you think that lady over there is prettier than I am?" Men, you know that you have to answer that question, and you have to give a quick answer. You can't think about it, scratch your head, or rub your chin before you answer. It's got to be a quick and sure answer. And of course, the answer to those two questions is always no. No other answer will work well for you. It must be a swift no. So when Abraham was approached by Sarah, I'm thinking that maybe she asked him, "Have you ever noticed my maid Hagar?" I'm sure that Abraham quickly says, "No, honey, which one are you talking about?" And Sarah points out this tall, bronze, beautiful lady and said, "That's her right over there." And she told Abraham that she would like for Hagar to go into Abraham's bedroom and conceive and bear a child for her. Abraham may have thought to himself, "I guess I could take one for the team." And he consented to his wife's proposition. The Bible says he hearkened to the voice of his wife. Much like Adam in the garden, he hearkened to the voice of his wife. Both men got in trouble. Both men suffered greatly because of listening to their wives. So they went through with Sarah's plan. And when Hagar conceived, she looked on her mistress with contempt. I'd like to note here that Hagar does not stand for sin. Hagar represents the carnal life, the old man, the old sinful nature when it seeks to rule. Sin can never be in a ruling position. The carnal must always yield to the spiritual. The carnal must be cast out for the glory of God. The characteristics of carnality is the passion to dominate, to rule, to call the shots. It's not only sin that can produce havoc in our life, but the carnal desire and determination to boss the show, to call the shots, to be in charge. These are the things that can wreak havoc in our life.